Hello and welcome to the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by No Halftime. Use promo code BBALL100 to get up to a $100 deposit bonus in the app. You can find the No Halftime app on the Apple Store or Amazon.com. So that's promo code BBALL100. And with that, we are off. This is the Monday, November 14th podcast. Today we'll be discussing season-long advice. I am your host, Tyler Watts. You can find me on Twitter at Wattsy4444. And I am joined by the great Daniel Green. Daniel, how's it going, man?
What's going on, man? Our weekly season-long show is here. It's very exciting. I am Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. We should just let you guys know, Mark F. Roberts, who normally does the season-long, he has been kidnapped. No, I'm just kidding. He's at a work event. I think he's in like Portland or something. So he couldn't host the show on Sunday. So Tyler is going to host this the season long show for us. But don't worry, Mark will be back next Sunday, and it should be a good show, Tyler. So I'm very excited. And thanks for hosting today, man.
I think he just went to Portland to watch the Blazers. What do you think?
No. I mean, first of all, I don't know who they were. Portland played tonight, right? Who did they play tonight?
Oh,
by the
yeah.
way, we're taping this at Sunday night. It's like 11 p.m., just so you guys, listeners, know. Not that you guys care, but hold on. Didn't Portland play tonight?
They played the Nuggets, man.
Oh, so you think Mark wanted to watch the Jokic-Nurkic disaster in person?
There are his two favorite players in the world, man. You know that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We sent Mark to scout Jokic-Nurkic, Fareed, and Darrell Arthur so we could figure out what the hell to do with the Denver Bigs.
And Fareed threw down that awesome dunk, and Mark cried a little inside.
Yeah. So, but he will be back next week for you guys. So, and he said he's very sorry because he knows he only does the show once a week, and he's basically abandoned all of the listeners, and he's abandoned me and Tyler too. He never speaks to us anymore. So, but we're gonna carry on without him today and still have a good show. So let's get cracking, Tyler.
All right. So we'll start off by looking at the weekly schedule. This is actually a really interesting week because every single team in the NBA plays either three games or four games. So it's going to be a little bit harder to take advantage of the schedule this week. There's 18 teams that play four games. There's only 12 teams that play three games. So everyone should be pretty similar in the games. If you look at the games by day, on Monday, there's eight games. On Tuesday, there's only five games. On Wednesday, there's a huge 11-game slate. On Thursday, there's only five games. On Friday, there's 10 games. On Saturday, there's nine games. And on Sunday, there's six games. All right, so looking at that, we figured the best opportunity, especially if you're in a league where it limits the moves you can make during the week, the two best opportunities to save some moves would be a Monday-Tuesday back-to-back because you could probably get the guy in your lineup both days, and then Saturday-Sunday back-to-back. So just looking at the Monday-Tuesday back-to-backs, there's Brooklyn and Miami both play back-to-backs on Monday and Tuesday. So potential pickups you could have, Trevor Booker, he's owned in 42.1% of ESPN leagues. Sean Kilpatrick, owned in 31.9%. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, who's only owned in 9.1%. Justice Winslow, who's owned in 44.5%. Tyler Johnson, who's owned in 41.8% of leagues. And then Josh Richardson, who's only owned in 3.9% of leagues. Looking at those six pickups, Daniel, who interests you?
I mean, I think some of these guys were going to dive a little deeper and deeper into later in the show, but I'm very intrigued by several players on this list. First of all, I think Dragic is still going to be out on Monday. I'm not sure about Tuesday. I think he has an ankle sprain, right?
They already ruled him out for Monday. I do know that.
Yeah. So, everyone thought Tyler, especially in the DFS world, everyone thought Tyler Johnson was going to be starting. Then after lineup lock, Spoelstra pulled a Rick Carlisle or Terry Stotts, and then and put Josh Richardson in the starting lineup. But either way, I like both those Miami guys, and I'm hearing rumblings in Miami that they might try to trade Goran Dragic at some point this year. I mean, either way, I think Tyler Johnson and Josh Richardson are gonna put up really nice stats. And if Dragic gets traded, one of those guys, I think it'd be Josh Richardson, could explode. So both those guys are very nice streaming options. I mean, in terms of Trevor Booker, I mean, as we'll go into his stats later, I mean, I think he probably should be owned at this point. So, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me. I'm not going to hop on board the Hollis Jefferson train yet. Although if you're in a league that doesn't really limit your number of moves each week, and you want to make that move for him on Monday and Tuesday, you can. And Justin Winslow, another Miami guy, so it's three Miami guys. I mean, he's fine too. The only thing with him is just his field goal percentage is going to kill you. And I don't see that going up too much. He had one game last week where he shot the ball really well, but otherwise in the season, it's just been a nightmare. It's just bricks coming through your screen whenever he plays. But otherwise he puts up solid supporting numbers across the board. So all six of those players, quite honestly, are fine to stream. I would just, Hollis Jefferson would be the one I'd be a little nervous to, even though I know he's coming off two good games on Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, my favorite's probably Josh Richardson. In the last two games, he's gotten 28 and 33 minutes. He's gotten 13 and 16 field goal attempts. He's shooting a lot of three-pointers. He's gotten 10 three-pointers in those two games that he's attempted. And in the last game, in particular against Utah, he gave you 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block, 2 steals, and 12 points. I think that he's going to be pretty productive in the points. He should shoot a decent percentage. He's going to give you some steals. He's going to chip in some assists and some rebounds. So, I mean, he's only owned 3.9% of leagues. I think he's kind of a decent pickup.
Yeah, quite honestly, he might not be a streaming option. He might just be a guy you got to pick up and keep. He's that talented. I mean, the Heat want to build their team around Richardson, Winslow, and Whiteside. And then with a little Tyler Johnson sprinkled in. So, I mean, Josh Richardson has tremendous upside. I mean, the fact that he's 3.9% because he was injured most of the season. He should be a lot higher than that, and especially now with Dragic hurt.
Yeah, totally agree. So if you're looking at Saturday, Sunday, back-to-back, you only have one move left for the last 2 days and you need to pick up someone. The two teams that play back-to-back on those 2 days are the Chicago Bulls and the Utah Jazz. Some potential pickups. You got Nikola Mirotic owning 32.5% of leagues. You got Doug McDermott, 9.4%. Joe Johnson, 48.1%. Trey Lyles, 3.8%. And Dante Exum, 3.6%. Anyone jumping off here for you?
Yeah, well, the one thing that we should say is that Doug McDermott on Saturday night's game against Washington, had a nasty injury late in the fourth quarter. And he was going through concussion protocol. And I don't know if I heard if he failed or passed. Just be careful if he has a concussion. I mean, like, Horford's been out forever with his concussion. So I know Doug McDermott has a history of concussions as well. And that looked like a really bad hit. Some of the teammates were really concerned. So just make sure Doug McDermott is going to be playing in those games, first of all. But in terms of the Mirotic and McDermott, they're pretty similar players, quite honestly. They don't do much. I think they're basically one or two category guys. Give you points, give you three-pointers. I think Mirotic might give you some rebounds as well. But this year, I don't know. I don't even know how many of those he's given you. The minutes aren't great on either of those two. But I think if you need threes, you need points, both those guys are fine. I'd probably still lean Mirotic over McDermott. But it's pretty close. I mean, McDermott, he's better than I thought, man. He comes in, he's instant offense for that Bulls team. I hope he gets more minutes at some point during the season. And then for the Utah guys, I mean, these guys suck. Joe Johnson's just old. Trey Lyles just doesn't get enough minutes for me. And Dante Exum, I think, is a year away. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, what do you think? What do you think about those three Utah guys? I mean, they just don't excite me. And one is just, I mean, I'm just so sick of Utah. Like, I know Utah's good, but watching them play, quite honestly, and Gordon Hayward's been brilliant, but their pace is just so slow and boring. I want to bang my head across the TV when I watch them.
The thing I'll say too about Joe Johnson is now that Hayward is back, they've been limiting his minutes on back-to-backs. They've had two back-to-backs since Hayward came back. He got 24 and 22 minutes in the one set, and then in the other set he got 11 and 28 minutes. So, I mean, you don't love that.
I mean, he's a guy – I mean, if you really need points, I guess you could stream him on Saturday, Sunday. But I don't think he's not a guy that I would own in standard leagues at this point.
Oh, definitely not. I mean, I think he's definitely just a streaming option at this point.
But, I mean, he's 48% owned in, like, ESPN leagues, and I think that's way too high. I think that's people – that number always shocks me. Does that mean Did 48% of the people already give up on the season? Are there other teams just that bad?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think people were thinking he was going to get a bigger role to start the year, obviously with the injuries they had. And then I think people just, like, recognize the name. You know what I mean? Like, he's been around for so long that I think some of these guys hang on at a lot higher ownership percentage than they should just because, like, ooh, I remember when Joe Johnson was good and he was 25 and he dropped 20 points a game.
I remember when he was 25 years old 25 years ago?
Pretty much.
I'm with you. No, so what do you think about Lyles and Exum, though? Like, I don't – like what does Exum do for you? Let's say George Hill is going to be back, too, because we should note that, right? He's been out the last couple of games. I mean, if George Hill is out, then I'm okay. Then I'm okay with streaming Exum. But if George Hill is back, like, I don't – what's Exum going to give you?
Well, that's the thing. Like, is Exum even going to get any minutes when he's back? Or I mean, what kind of minutes is he going to get? I mean, that's kind of an uncertain situation, I guess.
Yeah.
But I will say that Exum has some potential, right, to give you maybe a three-pointer. Maybe he gets a little better and gets you a couple steals. Get you a couple assists. I mean, he's basically only a deep league Adam. He's only getting 20 minutes on the season. He only got 22 minutes, not last year, but the season before when he actually played. And so, like, I mean, it would definitely have to be a deep league. But, I mean, I think we got guys who play in, like, 16, 18, 20-team leagues that could maybe use that just a little tiny bit to get him over the line.
Yeah, all right. Then I guess it makes sense. Otherwise, Exum is just going to give you a headache.
That's probably true. And Trey Lyles is kind of the same way. Like, he's just not getting the minutes, only 22.4 minutes a game. He's actually getting almost 8 shots a game, which is, I mean, a kind of a high number for someone like
that. Yeah, but I think some of that's skewed, man, because, like, I mean, Derek Favors was out to start the year, and we all were excited. We all thought Lyles and was going to get, like, extended minutes. And even then, he really didn't, even when Favors was out. So now that Favors is back, Favors' minutes keep going up. That's bad news for Lyles.
Well, I mean, in the last two games, Lyles still got 21 and 20 minutes in the last two. I mean, like, yeah, he's definitely just a deep league guy. I mean, he's going to get you 3, 4, 5 rebounds. He's going to, you know, get you 6, 8 points. I mean, that's maybe a steal, maybe a block, you know, if you're lucky. All right, you ready to move on to the players to discuss for today?
Yes, please.
All right, so basically what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about some players who are kind of low-owned. I shot for less than 50%, but the first guy is a little bit over in ESPN leagues, and we're going to basically try to determine whether you should pick these guys up, whether you should stream them, whether you should hold them, or whether this is total fluke and don't even bother. So the first guy we got today is Ricky Rubio. I personally think this guy should be 100% owned. He's returned from injury on Saturday. He played both on Saturday and today. He's only 51.1% owned in ESPN leagues. He's great for assists. He's great for steals. What do you think about Rubio?
Yeah, I mean, I'm shocked that he's only 51% owned. I mean, like, I actually was able to pick him up in one of my leagues. Now, granted, that was a league that's, quite honestly, I don't think anyone listens who's in that league to the show. Quite honestly, it's a league who's with very novice fantasy players. I don't even know why I'm in that league. So, but still, that, like, he must be owned. Like, dear God, like, what are people doing? I'm trying to look at his stats from today. They played the Lakers today, and Minnesota got a big win. And he was really good when I was watching the beginning of that game. I mean, yeah, Rubio had 10 points, 10 assists, 3 steals, 4 rebounds.
Well, he's probably going to be top 5 in the league in both steals and assists,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he'll be top. Exactly. So, I mean, he's a guy who could basically help you win 2 categories every week. He has to be owned, in my opinion. So, like, that's just a guy, if I'm not sure why people were dropping him. I mean, like, I do think there is a chance at some point he could be traded. I know there's lots of rumblings around the league. And, you know, even if that happens, though, I still think he's got a guy that's going to need to be owned. But while he's in Minnesota, he absolutely has to be owned. I mean, he's, like you said, he's going to dominate assists and steals for you, like, every week.
Yeah, so, like I'm saying, just check. I mean, 51, I mean, he's available in 49% of leagues, so maybe your league's one of them. Just check it out.
Yep.
Next guy, this guy's only owned in 5.1% of leagues, Kelly Olynyk for the Boston Celtics. He's only played 3 games this year. In those games, he's gotten 28 minutes, 1.7 threes, 6.3 rebounds, 2.7 assists, 12.3 points. He's shooting 43% from the field and 75% from the line. there's a little bit of uncertainty here. Obviously, like you mentioned earlier, Al Horford's been out with that concussion. So what are your thoughts here on Kelly Olynyk? Are you picking him up? Are you holding him? Are you streaming him? What are you doing with Kelly Olynyk?
I mean, he's a guy that I've been riding in DFS the last few games while Horford's been out. He's been great. You know, he's been getting, for Brad Stevens, pretty solid minutes. He's clearly a better player than Tyler Zeller. He has a much higher upside. He's a guy that I would definitely pick up if I needed a big man. I mean, I just don't know when the hell Horford's going to get back. I mean, I thought he was going to get back last game. You know, I'm not sure. Did he fly with them on their current road trip or not?
Yeah, and they said that if he flew, he did fly, and they said if he flew, he was going to play.
Yeah, so all right, so there you go. Right, so he did fly. So I would assume Horford's back the next game. And Horford being back, even when Horford was playing for the first few games of the year, he was only getting with 32 minutes. So I think Olynyk, there's a spot for Olynyk to still get about 20, 22 minutes probably. Now, is that going to be enough to be worthy of being owned in standard leagues? I don't know. I mean, he is a fantasy point per minute guy, so maybe he's worth a shot. You know, I know the Celtics organization love him and Stevens likes him a lot, so you could take a flyer on it. I would just, obviously Horford kills a lot of his value when Horford does get back. So, you know, just temper your expectations if you pick him up.
And here's what I'll say about it. He played 20 minutes a game last year. He got you 1.2 threes. He got you four and maybe 4.5 rebounds. He's going to get you like 1 to 2 assists. He's going to maybe get you a steal, probably like half a block and like 10 points. So if that's what you want to own in your standard leagues, I mean, all the power to you. But I'm thinking that once Horford comes back, he's going to get limited enough where he's really not worth owning. But for now, maybe Horford misses the next game. You could pick him up now. Maybe catch lightning in a bottle. Maybe they limit Horford's minutes since he's been out for 2 weeks. And Olynyk still gets around the 28 for the next couple games.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yo, man, I'm going to jump in here and do a player real quick.
All right.
This player, I didn't roster at all tonight in DFS, and even though I was on the fence about it. And I don't want to – I think we're going to try to go a show without talking too much about the Jokic-Nurkic disaster. But Kenneth Faried, man, I think that he probably should be owned. I mean, against Portland – I mean, so I guess – just for listeners, if you guys haven't been paying attention, you've been living under a rock. Jokic has finally been benched. They're going with Nurkic at the center position and Faried at the four right now. And it looks like Jokic is kind of the odd man out. Mike Malone is, if you listened to his news conference today, which I did, he sounds perplexed. He doesn't even know what to do and how to use Jokic. He's maybe at some point this year, Jokic will get back to being a player that should be owned. And if you have him, right now, I mean, Tyler, maybe you want to comment on what you should do. I mean, I know he does have a lot of upside, and a lot of you guys drafted him early, so you probably don't want to dump him yet, but I would just – it's not looking good for him. But a guy, if Faried's on available on your waiver wire, which he probably is, I think I'm ready to pick him up. I mean, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 1 assist tonight. And if he's going to get – I mean, his problem has always been he is not getting enough minutes. If Mike Malone, it sounds like he's going to be starting. If he's going to get enough minutes, even though he's kind of only a two category guy, I think I'd want to own him if I need points and rebounds. So that's my spiel on kind of Kenneth Faried. He's like, just watching the Denver games the last couple of nights, which I have, he's looked great. He looks recommitted. He always hustles his tail off. So you know, I'm right now a Faried fan. I mean, I'm not going to be afraid to dump him. You know, if he gets benched again, but I want to ride the hot hand right now with Kenneth Faried.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. Faried, when he gets that 27, 28 minutes, which is kind of where he's maxed out in his career, he's always gotten you right around 9 rebounds, right around 12, 13 points. He's given you a steal and a block a game pretty much. He's shot a great percentage from the field. He's not a great free throw shooter, but he's not atrocious like a Drummond or a Howard, so he's not going to completely kill you there. So if he's getting those kind of minutes, I totally agree. He's definitely worth a pickup. What I'll say about the Jokic thing, and from what I heard from Coach Malone today, which obviously could change at any minute, he's going to play him pretty much strictly at the five now.
Yeah, because I mean, wow, like what did Malone have an epiphany? Wow, I can't play 2 7-footers in the modern NBA. I mean, like, good for you, Malone. You could finally figure that out. I mean, like, you really thought that was going to work?
Well, yeah, and he does. I mean, neither one of them have the athleticism to guard some of these, like,
no,
smaller, quicker, you know, faster power forwards that are coming about today. So I think that he's probably going to chop the minutes kind of right down the middle. Now, Jokic was really valuable last year in those kind of limited minutes, so maybe there's still hope that now that he's playing center, he gets back to that value. I would personally give it a couple games, see what kind of minutes he's getting. You know, and kind of the same thing with Nurkic. Like, if Nurkic maybe, you know, Jokic starts taking the majority of the minutes and Nurkic goes down, you might have to think about cutting Nurkic then too. But right now, I think it's really kind of an uncertain situation. So if I'm holding one of these guys, I'm probably holding them for a couple games and just kind of see what happens.
Yeah, just to give you a sense of how it's going tonight, Jokic, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers, 0 points. So not a great start with Jokic's demotion to the bench. But I mean, I guess I'm with you that, you know, if you drafted him in like the third round, you don't want to just cut him already. So, I mean, you just got to pray he gets it together and somehow, even if he's getting 20 to 24 minutes, he can put up, you know, relevant stats in that time frame, in that amount of minutes, which he can. It's just a matter of him doing it now.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right, on to the next player. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is the next guy up. He's only owned in 9.1% of leagues. If you just view his last four games, he's gotten you 29.5 minutes, 7.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 1.2 steals, half a block, and 13 points. And he's actually made 22 out of 23 free throws in his last three games, which just seems insane. I don't think he's a guy with a great shot, but he does have some good athleticism. So what are you thinking about Rondae Hollis-Jefferson?
You know, he's a guy that did a complete 180. Like, literally, since we did the show last week where I think I was calling him a dead man walking on the show and the worst player in the NBA, he's been, I mean, amazing. He won one of my friends close to 10 grand last night because he put up, like, 50 FanDuel points. I mean, I think you just read off a bunch of his stats. I mean, he's been – it's pretty surreal. Like, I don't understand where the hell this came. I mean, he's not a great scorer. So, I mean, I think some of the scoring stats might kind of fluctuate as the season goes on. But Brooklyn sucks. They're an absolute mess, especially while Jeremy Lin's out. They just need guys, talented guys, to play minutes and to put up stats in any category. So, I mean, Hollis Jefferson, while I don't love him for any one category, I think he's going to do enough for you that probably warrants – you know, at least to be on your watch list, if not owned. You know, I don't really know what else to say about him. I've never seen in 1 week a guy go from that, besides like the Jokic Nurkic thing, a guy in 1 week go from so freaking terrible to looking like an all-star. It's been crazy.
Here's what I'll say. I think just because of the team that he's on, he's got a shot to get around 10 points. If he was on a team with some better scores, I don't think he'd even get that many.
So let's say he's going to get you 10 points. If he gets you 10 points, is that someone you want on your team now? Are you going to pick him up?
Well, here's what he's going to provide you. He's going to provide you some decent rebounds for a guard type player or small forward. And he's going to provide you he got 1.3 steals last year in 21 minutes. So, I mean, could he get you like a steal and a half, maybe even closer to 2 steals? If he can get that number up to that, I might be interested just for the steals alone. But, I mean, like, it's probably a guy I'm going to kind of stream in and out more than a guy I'm going to hold for the entire season.
Yeah, I have no issues with that. I mean, the points are good. Are definitely going to fluctuate, and the rest of the stuff I think is he will be okay. But I mean, he's not going to help you win a league on his own, on his own for you. So
the interesting thing has been the 4 assists in the last 4 games, and he's averaging 3.1 assists in the 9 games total. If he can average like 3 or 4 assists, I mean, that's only going to bump up his value a lot, especially since we know that assists are really hard to come by on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I mean, I do think those numbers might take a little hit when Lin gets back, but yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Let's move on. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I think he's probably more of a streamer guy than anything. Next guy, Patrick Beverley, 4.2% owned. They said that he's out tomorrow, but he's going to make a season debut on either Wednesday or Thursday. And then he might sit out the other game because they have a back-to-back on Wednesday and Thursday. Last season, he averaged 1.7 threes, 3.5 rebounds, 3.4 assists, 1.3 steals, 0.4 blocks, and 9.9 points per game, shooting like 43.4% from the field and 62.8% from the free throw line. Patrick Beverley making a season debut. You picking him up?
I mean, Beverley's been a guy notorious the last couple of years that I've picked up, dropped, picked up, dropped, picked up, dropped. Like, I mean, dear, it's just – I mean, the over-under's got to be 10 times where, like, he – now, granted, now he's in a better offense, at least, you know, pace-wise and giving you stats probably with D'Antoni. But Harden has officially shifted over to the point guard, even though he kind of was a de facto point guard last year. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out, like, D'Antoni's rotation when he comes back. I mean, already Eric Gordon has switched to coming off the bench, even though he played 32 minutes last game. D'Antoni right now is starting Corey Brewer, but playing him, like, only 20 minutes a game. So, I mean, the first question you got to think about is how many minutes is Beverley going to get? Like, is, you know, I haven't penciled in for about 24 to 26.
I think that's probably about right. I mean, he might even get 28.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's not as many as he was getting like the last couple of years, and that's when I was cutting him every week. So I'm not sure. I'm not entirely sure what to get. I know he's going to get lots of threes because that's just what you get in the D'Antoni offense. So I still think he could give you like 2 threes a game. And then you got to hope he gets you a couple of, you know, like those 3 assists and a steal a game. I think that he's capable of doing that, but he's another guy. I mean, he's not talented enough to help you win a league, but he's enough. He's kind of like a Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, a guy you can probably stream a lot of weeks. And if he gets hot, you can probably stay on him. And if for some reason he meshes really well in the D'Antoni system, you can hold on to him for a few weeks and play him. But he's a guy, if you pick him up, just be ready to drop him at some point because he's just not that talented of an offensive basketball player. He's really good defensively. That's not going to get you NBA. That's not going to get you fantasy stats.
Yeah, I totally agree. He is definitely a streamer in your 10 and 12 team leagues. 14 and 16 team leagues, if you're in one of those, I'm probably picking him up right now and holding him. I think he's got some decent value for those leagues, but I think he's just streaming in 10 and 12. The next guy up who's producing some really interesting stats lately, Lucas Noguera. He's only 3.9% owned on ESPN.
Did you just sneeze? What did you say?
Did I sneeze?
Yeah. Well, who did you say? Lucas who?
Lucas Noguera.
Oh, sorry. Okay. God bless you.
in his 4 games he's played this year, he's getting 25.8 minutes, 7.3 rebounds, 0.8 assists, 1.8 steals, 2.5 blocks, and 8.3 points on a whopping 88.2% from the field and 75% from the line. Any thoughts on Lucas Noguera? I'm not even sure you know that's an NBA player. He plays for Toronto.
No, I do, just because Valanciunas has been banged up. So for DFS, I thought about playing this guy last week. I mean, my thoughts are let's move on. I mean, if Valanciunas goes down for an extended period, he's a guy that would be fine to stream and I got it and fine to pick up, I guess, if Valanciunas is going to be out for an extended period of time. But as long as Valanciunas is there, look, we saw how this plays out. Like, no team is going to play 2 7-footers big minutes. Like, it does not, it really can't happen. Now, Valanciunas is lucky. And first of all, Dwayne Casey hates playing Valanciunas 30 plus minutes a game. So there's no way that Lucas, God bless you, is going to get 30 plus minutes. Like, he's a fine player. And if Valanciunas goes down, he will be someone I target. Otherwise, no thank you for me. I mean, am I missing something? I mean, do you have other thoughts? I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
No, here's why I think people are maybe thinking about picking him up. The 1.8 steals and the 2.5 blocks a game. The steals are kind of a total fluke. Such that he got big minutes, which they're definitely limited behind Valanciunas. But if Valanciunas got hurt or anything, he'd give you some pretty good rebounds. He'd give you good blocks, and he'd shoot a good percentage on limited attempts from the field. He's actually kind of a bad free throw shooter, so that even that 75% is going to way drop if he ever got big minutes. So I think he's kind of someone just put on your watch list. If you see Valanciunas is going to be out, maybe you throw him in there for a streaming opportunity. But, I mean, he's really not worth owning unless you're in like a 16, 18, 20-team league and you want to take a shot on him.
Dude, I think I'm going to have to block – or not block, but either unfollow or mute Skip Bayless on Twitter. Like, when he was on First Take, I don't remember him tweeting this outrageously and going, like, berserk. Is he just trying to do this so that more people will watch his whatever show is on FS1?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know that First Take show is supposedly, like, scripted, right? Like, they weren't even, like, really arguing.
What do you mean? It's like a TV show? I mean, like a actual show with a script?
Yeah. That, like, they supposedly, like, would say, like, they would pick a topic and then be like, all right, we're going to debate this. You're pro and I'm con. And
then I knew they during the pre-show, they'd take sides and stuff. But I think Skip Bayless is delusional enough to believe half the stuff he says. Yeah, I don't know how much he scripted. Anyway, that was a quick tangent. He's tweeting up a storm as I'm trying to check the Chambers results for tonight. Very exciting, Tyler.
All right, next guy up, Marquise Chris, 2.5% owned. He's starting for Phoenix. He's still not getting any minutes, really. He's still averaging less than 20 minutes a game. He got 20 minutes for the first time in their last game. Any thoughts on Marquise Chris? Are you even thinking about owning him at this point?
No. I mean, he's a guy where, you know, you see he's starting, you watch him play a little bit, and then you get excited. And then you watch the entire game, and you're like, frick, I can't own this guy. Because, like you just said, he doesn't play enough minutes yet. He's fun to watch, man, because he's athletic. He's in, like, a perfect stretch four in the modern NBA. And I think eventually, whenever they stop giving fat Jared Dudley, you know, minutes, now P.J. Tucker's back for them, so he's getting more and more minutes as well. Whenever Phoenix decides to fully go in the tank and let these young guys run the show, then maybe at some point this year he'll become a guy that I want to own. But right now the minutes just aren't there. He's not doing enough, you know, in those 20 minutes to warrant attention. So you can put him on your watch list, but not someone you want to own yet.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. In a deep league, I might add him just for the potential that as the season goes on, maybe they trade away Jared Dudley. Maybe they just say, Jared Dudley, you're not playing anymore. And he starts getting 30 minutes. He might be useful. But in a standard league, like, I think he's just watches material at this point.
Yep.
Next guy up, another dude who should be pretty much 100% owned. Drew Holiday, he's owned in 48% of leagues. He's expected to debut at some point this week. If you look on Basketball Monster, last year he was the 48th overall player in 8 category leagues and the 62nd overall player in 9 category leagues. Any thoughts on Drew Holiday?
I don't think we need to waste too much time. I mean, if he's available, add him now immediately. Like, just don't. I mean, him and Rubio are two guys that must be owned. So both those guys are. The fact that people drop them is crazy, insane, and asinine. And so get him in your league. And to that end, when he does come back, you're going to have to say, you know, drop out a little beer and say a little rest in peace to my boy Tim Frazier, who held down the fort pretty well while Drew was out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how many minutes Tim Frazier actually gets. I can't imagine it's going to be a lot. So, I mean, definitely in your standard leagues, he's definitely going to be cut material for.
Yeah, like the minute you see Drew Holiday get like 30-plus minutes, it's time to cut bait on Tim Frazier.
Well, and that'll be what's interesting too is I think he might come back and play like 30 minutes because he's supposedly been working out at his home base there. And obviously he wasn't injured, so he might just come right in, get a ton of minutes. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think they've announced that yet, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him play a huge minutes even on opening his first game.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be similar to Darren Collison, where Darren Collison got pretty – I mean, he was like in the mid-20s the first couple games, and then like I think from now on Darren Collison will be in the 30s. So maybe a couple games Drew will be in the 20s, and then I think he'll be, you know, easily in the 30s.
All right, next guy up. Lewis Williams for the Lakers, ranked 27th on ESPN's Play Radar so far this season. If you look at the 2017 totals, he's 57.3% owned in ESPN leagues. In his last 10 games, he's only gotten 23.5 minutes, but he's gotten you 1.9 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.8 steals, 2.03s and 16.4 points a game on 47% from the field and 81% from the free throw line. What are you thinking about 27th overall, Lou Williams?
Yeah, I didn't see this one coming, that he'd be this productive in this limited minutes. I mean, he's always been a guy who's capable of giving you some pretty nice points in limited minutes, but I didn't think it was going to be this good. I think regression will come back to the mean a little bit, but I mean, I don't know. I think he can sustain for the most part. I mean, you look at the most important thing for me is minutes, right? So you look at the 23.5 minutes. I think that's sustainable. So, while I think some of the field goal percentages might come down a little, I think the minutes will be there. And I think he's a guy, if you need threes and you need points, he's someone that you probably should own. But, like, do I think he's going to, like, end the year with those 3.7 assists? I mean, I'd be shocked. That looks like an outlier to me. Do I think he'll end up with 1.8 steals? That would shock me too. So I think those will come down a little bit. And I think I would just focus on the points and threes. And if that's what you need, then I think he's a guy that can be owned. But look, he will never be a guy getting you like 30 minutes. And like the Lakers are playing like 10 guys, 24 minutes. Everyone on the roster gets 24 minutes. If you're a Laker, it goes into your contract. It's a guarantee.
So yeah, I think you nailed it. He's going to regress in the field goal percentage and the assists in the steals. He's definitely going to regress there. But he's actually probably still worthwhile owning and holding in a 12-team league because he's going to give you like 15 points a game, which points are super hard category to find on the waiver wire. He's going to give you pretty close to 2 threes a game, it looks like. He's probably going to chip in a steal and like 2 to 2.5 assists a game. And that's probably worth being your worst guy in a 12-team league.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm trying to think. So, like, would you go between – I mean, because we have similar guys so far that we've talked about so far. Would you go Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Ronnie Hollis-Jefferson? Between those three, would you want Lou Will or are those three?
I would want Lou Will, over Beverley, just for the points are going to be better. If I really needed steals, and, like, steals was the one category I thought I was the weakest in, I'd probably go for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I think he's probably going to get a few more steals. But yeah, Overall, I'll probably go on Lou Williams.
All right, let's move on.
Next guy up, the red-hot C.J. Miles. He's ranked 29th right now on ESPN's Player Rater. He's only owned in 33.9% of ESPN leagues. In his last 10 games, he's only gotten 24.1 minutes, but he's nailed you 2.4 threes, 3.2 rebounds, 0.9 assists, a steal a game, 0.7 blocks, and 14.3 points on a whopping 50.5% from the field and 89.5% from the line. What are you doing, CJ Miles?
Real quick, I'm trying to find out when Rodney Stuckey's coming back for Indiana. So it looks like he's a hamstring injury. Looks like he's targeting a late November return. I think when Stuckey comes back, CJ Miles will face the reality, and that is he's not that great at basketball. So I think until then, he's fine to own. I mean, like you read off those numbers, he's been great. I mean, he's been so good, now he's starting for Indiana right now. The problem there is that there's only one ball. You have Teague, Paul George, Thaddeus Young, Miles Turner, not to mention Monte Ellis who's now basically coming off the bench for them. But I mean, I just don't see how he can sustain these numbers. I mean, he's been great this year, but he's a guy that I would sell high on if you could. Like, he's a perfect sell high candidate if you ask me. So try to get something while you can from this guy, because it's not sustainable. And then when Stuckey comes back, the minutes are going to go down a little bit, and he'll be on the waiver wire at some point this year. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's a career 41.7% field goal shooter. So the 50% obviously isn't going to last. If you need a guy who's going to shoot you 2 threes a game or make you 2 threes a game, average like 2.8 rebounds and assists, 0.8 steals, half a block, and 12.5 points, CJ Miles is your man. If not, that's not your guy. I think he's deeply relevant, but even in the standard leagues, I'm just streaming him. I'm not picking him up and holding him. He's been hot. I don't really think it's going to continue at all. Next guy up, you got Nick Young, who's ranked 40th on ESPN's player rater so far this year, owned in 32.3% of ESPN leagues. In the 10 games so far this season, he's averaging 26.7 minutes, 2.7 threes, 2.7 rebounds, 1.0 assists, half a steal, 0.4 blocks, and 14.7 points on 47% from the field and a perfect free throw percentage so far this year. What are your thoughts on Nick Young going forward?
I mean, God, all, like half the guys we talked about make me squirm in my chair because it's just, ugh. I don't want Nick Young on my team. I really don't. But with that said, like we already mentioned, Luke Walton's going to play everyone 24 minutes. He's going to play Lou Will. He's going to play Nick Young 24 minutes. So quite honestly, Nick Young gets more minutes than Russell and Randall, which is infuriating to watch. Now, I've watched Lakers play. Nick Young does not appear to be a lockdown defender, and that's what Luke Walton says he is these days.
I actually looked it up just the other day. He actually rates, as far as defensive rating goes, as the Lakers' worst starter, even though Luke Walton always says he's such a lockdown defender.
Like, I don't get it. Like, that's the excuse for, you know, whenever he's talked about it, it's like he's such a great defender. I'm like, no, I want to see Jordan Clarkson. Can you please get Nick Young on the bench or back with Iggy Azalea where you know, I don't know what's going on anyway. I mean, as long as he's getting this amount of minutes, look, he's a two category guy. He's points and 3 points and three pointers. So similar to all the other guys, you know, that we talked about with those two categories, if you need points and 3 pointers, he's a guy that you can probably use a little bit stream. But if I mean, he's a guy that I don't think can be owned permanently in a standard 12 team league. I just don't, you know,
Yeah. And at least those other guys are shooting 40%. He, the last 2 years, has shot 33 and 36% from the field. So he's going to actually hurt you even more in that field goal percentage category. He's going to give you 2 threes. And if he's getting 24 minutes, he's probably going to get you like 13 to 14 points a game.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically, you know, he's a weaker version of J.R. Smith back in the day when J.R. Smith was a really good player. I'm like, was could help you win threes and points like any given week. But Nick Young is not. Just be ready to cut him, you know, at some point this year, if you want to even own this guy.
Speaking of comparing players, our great sponsor of No Halftime. Say you're trying to take advantage of Nick Young's newfound 40th ESPN player rater rank. Who would you be trying to match Nick Young up against in a nice No Halftime challenge?
Yeah, let's see if you can use Nick Young as some fool's gold, man. So maybe dangle out like Bradley Beal versus Swaggy P, some Monte Ellis, some Devin. Maybe people don't know who Devin Booker is yet. And I think all those guys, you know, Oladipo is another one. I think all those guys would be able to defeat Swaggy P on a one-on-one fantasy matchup, which is what No Halftime is. So.
Here's a good one, too. I think Monte Ellis is the perfect one because Ellis has been kind of bad there for a while. And since he moved to the bench role, he's actually been getting some more shots up. But there for a minute, he wasn't getting hardly any. I think that would be a perfect no halftime challenge.
Yeah, like I like the fact that they're bringing him off the bench now. I mean, they just have too many, you know, I think we just mentioned a couple minutes ago that there's too many guys who demand the ball in that starting lineup. So him coming off the bench with the second unit, he can kind of do whatever the heck he wants. I think he did start the last game when Paul George was out. So, but yeah, I mean, I still think Monte Ellis will put up kind of more fantasy points than Swaggy P. So Monte Ellis can do a lot of other things besides just score. I mean, he actually can get you assists, which Swaggy P will give you like 10 assists a year. So, Monte Ellis would be a nice play.
Yeah, totally agree there. So if you're looking, maybe Nick Young can win this no halftime challenge. Is there anyone you're thinking, ooh, maybe I can attack this guy against Nick Young?
Yeah, if you want to use Nick Young to try to get some wins and win some money at no halftime, it's tough. So you got to think, who is the worst players in the NBA that are starting right now? Aaron Afalo, Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, who's not starting, but you could use a Lance Thomas, Dante Exum. Maybe someone would fall for that one. Those are some guys. Maybe Swaggy P could challenge. But yeah. I mean, yeah.
you got to like Swaggy's chances against all those guys. They're not really producing much. I think some people might fall for it if you find a night where Dante Exum's starting and George Hill's out. Someone might fall for that one.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, this would be careful. If Dante Exum is starting, though, and George Hill is out, then I think that would be pretty competitive, and then I'd be a little nervous. But if you wait till George Hill gets back there, get back in the starting lineup, then I think Dante Exum would be a fine guy that Swaggy P would be able to beat.
Yeah, I totally agree. So that's no halftime one-on-one fantasy sports. You guys should all use our promo code BBall100. Check it out. It's pretty awesome. So
yeah, man, it's just so nice and easy. Like, you know, for DFS, we have to do hours and hours of research, you know, before you play every night, you know, especially before we do our shows for that too. So no halftime, you know, not a lot of research. You just find a matchup you like and go after that in any given night. It's nice and easy, and you can win some nice money. And use the promo code BBall100, 100 free bucks, man. So it's good stuff. You guys should check it out.
Yeah, and everyone loves free money. So, I mean, it's perfect. All right, back to the players. Next up, Trevor Booker. He's ranked 44th on ESPN's Player Rater. He's only 42.1% owned. In his 9 games this season, he's averaging 26.8 minutes, which is a career high for him. He's giving you 8.9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 0.8 blocks, and 10.2 points per game on 50% from the field and 81% from the free throw line. What are you thinking about Trevor Booker going forward?
I mean, Trevor Booker is just a very nice professional basketball player. I was always a fan of his when he was on Utah. He was a guy that I loved to play if ever, like, Derek Favors was out. I would play him in DFS, and I'd also stream him in season-long leagues. But now on Brooklyn, because Brooklyn is just so horrifically bad, he's locked into pretty solid minutes. And he's a cool guy to own because, like, he fills up the box score, man. He doesn't, like, give you a ton of points. But, like, I don't know. Did you read the stats or not? I'm not sure if you read them.
I just read him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was checking Twitter, sorry. I got to stop doing that during the show. Yeah, so Tyler Reddy, the stats, man. Like, he gives, you know, not, the points aren't great, but he gives you rebounds, assists, steals, you know, and helps you a little bit on blocks. I mean, he's got great field goal percentages. So I think he's a guy that probably should be owned. I mean, it's just sneaky across the board.
Yeah, and you mentioned it right there. I think he's going to give you sneaky, really good value in field goal percentage and rebounds. The steals are definitely going to regress. He's not going to average 2 steals for the season. But I could see him getting a steal and maybe closer to a block. So, I mean, you love that.
Yeah, but he's a guy like at the end of, you know, he's a guy, the end of every night, you look at the box score, you're like, that wasn't that great. But then, like, the week adds up, you get those 3 or 4 games, and you're like, dang, that's a pretty productive week.
Yeah, totally agree. So go out, maybe find this guy on your waiver wire, pick him up. I think he's worth holding. I think he's definitely a guy worth owning in your standard leagues. Next guy up, Clint Capella, one of Mark's favorite players. We had to do him just because Mark's not here. 33.1% owned. In his 9 games this year, he's given you 23.1 minutes, 7.7 rebounds, 0.6 assists, 0.6 steals, 1.2 blocks, and 10 points on 61.8% from the field and 31.6% from the free throw line. He's definitely a pump free throw player. So in your roto leagues, you're definitely not owning him. But if you're in a head-to-head league, what are you thinking about Capella?
I don't know, man. Like, he's, if you want to own him in a head-to-head, I guess that's fine. You know, but, like, those numbers aren't great. Like, I guess what? Why you want to own him for what, blocks? And is that why you want to own him? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think the thing that the only way he really fits onto your team is if, and even in the field goal percentage, he is getting you 7.6 attempts so far this season. So, I mean, that field goal percentage boost is going to be, you know, reasonably decent. And he's going to get you some all right rebounds. I mean, 7.7 a game, if he can keep that up, that's pretty good. And then, obviously, the 1.2 blocks, which actually I think could go up a little bit even. He averaged 1.2 blocks in 19 minutes last season, so... you could maybe even get closer to like 1.5.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, next guy up on the list. This has been an interesting player so far this year. He was really cold, and then he kind of caught fire in the last game. Nikola Mirotic, 32.5% owned. In 10 games a season, he's only averaging 22.7 minutes, but he's getting you 1.7 threes, 5.5 rebounds, 1.2 assists, 0.2 steals, 0.8 blocks, and 10.5 points on 40% from the field and 84.6% from the free throw line. Any thoughts on Nikola Mirotic?
I mean, he's been, you know, up and down watching all the Bulls games. You know, the minutes have fluctuated. You know, but ultimately the numbers are similar to last year. So I think while maybe a little disappointing, he's probably a guy that should be owned. I mean, he gives you threes, the points are okay, and he helps you a little bit with rebounds, but you know, similar to those other two category guys. I mean, he's basically, in some ways, he's similar to, you know, the Nick Youngs, Lou Williams of the world, except Mirotić is a guy who does have the upside to help out in like a rebounding category as well. And he's a guy that potentially could get some serious minutes. It's just a matter of when's that going to be. So it's not right now.
And here's the other thing. He got 0.9 steals last year in relatively the same amount of minutes. He actually played a little 2 minutes more last season. And so I think Mirotić, basically, he is what he is. A lot of people think, oh, he could get more minutes. You know, Coach Hoiberg just does not seem like he wants to give this guy huge minutes.
He needs to play because the Bulls need spacing. I mean, the Bulls are still trying to figure out what rotation to use. And you can see some games, you know, and Taj Gibson has been playing really well.
But here's the thing. Wasn't this the same thing everyone was saying last year? Oh, he needs to get more minutes. He needs to get more minutes. And it never happened.
But last year was different because, I mean, last year they didn't really just need – I mean, this year they need spacing. I mean, it's need with all capitals. I mean, because, again, you have the Rondo-Wade-Butler thing. And now, lately, Rondo's minutes have come down a little bit. Rondo hasn't even finished in the games. And Hoiberg's been going with, like, Isaiah Cannon.
You nailed it on the head. Rondo hasn't even been playing. Is this guy getting more minutes?
Well, no.
Okay, then.
But I'm saying that it's if they need spacing, he's a guy that Hoiberg could go to. You know, it hasn't happened yet. So I'm just saying he still has the upside. I mean, granted, is it going to happen? Maybe not. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Here's the thing for me, okay? He is what he is. Everyone always has this pipe dream that he's going to get more minutes. He's going to be this awesome top 50 player. He's probably like an 8th, 9th, 10th player in your standard league team, maybe 11th. Okay. He's worth owning, I think. I mean, I think that he provides you some value. He could even get you some values and some steals and some blocks, which is always nice. But I don't ever think he's going to take the jump forward, at least this season under Coach Hoiberg. I don't think he's going to take the jump forward into that like top 50. Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the odds don't appear to be great of that happening. So I would agree with that.
All right. Next up, you
Hashtag trade Rondo. All right. Go ahead.
Next up, you got Dario Saric, 25.5% owned. In 9 games this year, he's gotten you 27.2 minutes. He's got you 1.2 threes on an amazing 47.8% from the free throw or from the 3-point line. He's gotten you 6 rebounds, 1.8 assists, 0.7 steals, 0.2 blocks, and 9.6 points per game on 39.1% from the field. So he's actually shooting better from 3-point land than he is from the field, and 70% from the line. Any thoughts on Saric?
I love watching him play. I love watching it. Even though Philly's only won not one game, like, there's so much fun to watch. Embiid might be my favorite player in the NBA to watch. I mean, Saric is just going to be tough to get fully behind because right now you got the yo-yo with Okafor and the yo-yoing with Embiid. So, like, and I was trying to talk to you pre-show, and I don't know if we found an answer or not. Like, how long is this Okafor – not play, you know, playing every other game going to go on?
That's the thing that I for the foreseeable future, I suppose it is. They don't really ever really say, and they're not inclined to really tell us. It's funny. I kind of think this guy's like Nikola Mirotić light. He's not. I mean, like, I think when some of these guys get back, he's not going to get huge minutes, just kind of like Mirotić does. I think he's going to give you some threes. He's going to give you a little bit of rebounds. A little bit in some other categories, like right around 10 points. And he's kind of going to be Mirotić.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could kind of get behind that. They are similar in some ways, although I hope you're not saying that because they're both white, big, like tall white dudes.
No, I'm saying like statistical profile. No,
no, yeah, no. Yeah, no, I'm messing with you. Yeah, no, I would actually somewhat agree with that assessment. And so now the bigger question is, are they both going to be guys that we're just always infuriated with because they never live up to their potential? I guess yet to be seen. I guess we'll see.
Well, and you like the Sarge. I mean, he's only 22 years old, so he's got potential to still grow into something a little bit better. But for this year, I kind of look at him as like a Nico Mirotic type guy. Next guy up, you got Bob Cove, Robert Covington, Lord Covington, your man, your favorite player in the NBA, Daniel. 25.3% owned. In 9 games so far this year, he's getting a career-high 29.6 minutes. He's getting you 8.7 field goal attempts, which the last 2 years he got you 10.6 and 10.8. So the field goal attempts are definitely down this year. He's getting you 2 3-pointers, though. He's getting you 4.8 rebounds. He's getting you an assist. He's getting you 2.2 steals, which you love. He's getting you almost a block a game, and he's getting you 8.4 points. He's only shooting 30.8% from the field. What do you think about Bob Cove for the rest of the way?
I mean, he's a frustrating guy to own, but he probably should be owned. What else to say besides that? It's just you hope the shooting comes up, and I think it will a little bit, but he goes in these freaking year long shooting slumps, which is it's bizarre, frustrating, and he's wide open on a lot of them too, but he does enough to be owned.
Of all the guys we've looked at so far, this guy gave me the biggest headache. I mean, like, some of his numbers are through the roof and other of his numbers are through the floor. And like, I really don't know what super to expect. What I am kind of expecting is probably a very bad field goal percentage. I mean, he shot 38.5 and 39.6 the last 2 years. So I'm thinking it's going to be bad. He's maybe only going to get like 10 attempts this year, or maybe only like 9.5. So that's going to help mitigate that a little bit. I'm thinking he's probably going to get you somewhere between 2 to 2.5 3-pointers a game. He's probably going to get you somewhere right around 5 rebounds.
I can speed this up. All right. You want to own him for threes and steals.
Yeah. And not even points. I'm not sure.
The points aren't really enough to help you out too. I mean, you hope that if the field goal percentage goes up, maybe points can be a third category he can help you in. But he's stellar in steals and threes, so that's why you want to own him.
Is he stellar though? I mean, like, he got you steals, basically, yeah, 1.5 the last 2 years. So like,
in what?
1.5 steals per game in like the last 2 years he's averaged.
Oh, I thought. Oh, it says 2.2 here. That's
2.2 this year. That's what I mean. So that's going to regress some. Now, if he was getting 2.2, you'd be all over him. I'd own him in every league just for that production right there. That's what I'm saying is I think it's going to kind of be more like 1.5. And so that makes him not even like super spectacular in that. But I mean, I think he's worth owning. I just don't think he's going to hurt you in some categories. So you got to know what you're buying.
Yeah. Just, you know, be ready to be frustrated with all these guys. But I still think Covington should probably be owned.
Next guy up is a guy I think that should definitely be way more owned. Gary Harris, he's owned in 24% of ESPN leagues. Last season he ranked 97th in A category and 88th in 9 category leagues by Basketball Monster. He was rounding into form in his last 2 games. He got 28 and 30 minutes in 2 out of his last 3. Then he sat out Sunday's game with an ankle injury, which you obviously don't love. But this is a potential top 100 player on the waiver wire in like 76% of leagues. Any thoughts on Gary Harris?
Yeah, I'm a G. Harris fan. That's all I got.
That's all you got? All right.
He's another, you know, and I think this is the reason why all these guys are on our list. I mean, they're all kind of frustrating in a way. I mean, you just think of all the heartache these guys have caused us in the past. But, he's still really young. Will Barton scares me in Denver, because any given night he can get a lot of minutes and a lot of shots. But I ultimately still think Gary Harris, you know, like you said, is a guy who's going to end up the year in the top 100 and should be owned.
I agree. I mean, he's young. He should only get better. He was 97th and 88th last year, depending if you're playing on 8 category, 9 category. Definitely a guy I would pick up. 24%, way too low. Gotta get him on.
The reason he's so low owned is he's been out basically the whole year. I mean, he came back for like, you know, a couple games, but he was still on minute restrictions. You know, I watched him in those games. He looked okay, and then he got banged up again. So, but eventually he'll be fine. But I would not, you know, don't expect him to kill it this year. I don't think it's going to be that. I think he's going to be a solid player for you.
Totally.
It's probably going to be in what points? The problem is like what other category?
I mean, here's the thing. I think that like he's not stellar in anything.
Is he Trevor Booker light? What is Gary Harris?
Here's the thing. He's for a shooting guard. He shoots a relatively good percentage from the field usually, and from the free throw line. He averaged 1.4 three-pointers last year, which you could even see maybe going up a little bit. He got you 3 rebounds. He got you 2 assists. And what was nice was he got you 1.3 steals and 12 points. I mean, like, he's not blowing you away in any category, but he's shooting good percentages. He's giving you a little bit here, a little bit there, and that's what gives him the top 100 value.
Yeah, all right. I'm cool with that.
Next guy up, Sergio Rodriguez, 23.8% owned. He's the point guard for Philly. He's played 9 games this year. He's averaging 29.8 minutes, 1.3 threes, 3.7 rebounds, 7.1 assists, a steal, 0.2 blocks, and 9.2 points on 38% from the field, and he's not missed a free throw yet this season. The real reason I wanted to bring him up.
All right, how many free throws has he taken?
I can't even tell you, but it doesn't matter, okay? Because here's the thing. He's ranked 7th in the NBA in assists, and he's on the waiver wire in that many leagues. Assists is usually the hardest category to find. He's getting you 7.1 a game. You pick this guy up and you own him if you need assists, no matter what. There's no one better on the waiver wire. There's probably no one even close. There's maybe a guy who gets like 3 or 4 on the waiver wire, and that's it. Am I wrong?
I'm trying to figure out how many free throws he's taken this year, because it's got to be like 2. I'm with you for – look, assist is the hardest category probably to find on the waiver wire. So 7.1 assists, starting point guard. Yeah, pick him up until and then ride it until something weird happens in Philly, which it inevitably will. But, you know, is he the best player on the waiver wire? That I might dispute. But, I mean, like, those assists are too good to pass up right now.
Oh, no, I'm not saying he's the best overall player, but I know there's always teams out there. I need assists. I'm trying to make a trade for assists.
Yeah, I'm with you.
7.1 on the waiver wire, boom. You don't need assists anymore. You're getting the 7th best player in the NBA.
All right. I have the free throw percentages. How many free throws do you think he's made and attempted this year?
Well, he's obviously made and attempted the same number. I'm guessing 13.
Tyler, this is why they pay me the big bucks to be on the show. He has made and attempted 1 free throw this year. It took place on November 2nd. He had a free throw.
All right, nice. So he's not driving to the basket.
He's not driving to the basket. And I guess that also makes sense too, because not like any team's following the Sixers late in games, right? Because the Sixers are always losing. Right. So he doesn't get any cheap free throws either. But yeah, so he's not a guy, even though Tyler tried to slide that in there, he's shooting 100% from the free throw line. While technically correct, he's only made 1 this year.
Well, I never said he was going to help you in free throws.
Wait, so who was the guy last year that was it? TJ McConnell? Is that who the other guy was?
Who he waited forever to shoot his first free throw. Yeah, that was him.
Basically same team now. They're basically just changed spots.
Totally agree there. Yeah. Next guy up, Marcus Smart, 21.9% owned. He's only played 6 games this year. He was out at the beginning of the year due to an injury. He's getting you 32.2 minutes, which you love that. 1.8 threes, 3.8 rebounds, 3.7 assists, a steal, 0.3 blocks, 12.5 points on 40.3% from the field, and an abysmal 46.2% from the free throw line. What are you doing with Marcus Smart?
Well, I mean, we should say right now the Celtics have been tough to gauge because we mentioned Horford's out, but also Jay Crowder's out. So Marcus Smart has basically been starting and smarting for Jay Crowder lately, especially as Jaylen Brown has come back down to earth. So Marcus Smart's numbers now are a little inflated, I think. So I'm not sure what to do with him. I mean, you know, I think, you know, I don't know if you mentioned this on the show or just to me off air, but if he's getting 30 plus minutes, he should be owned in all leagues. Like, but once Jay Crowder comes back, is that going to be the case? Like, how many minutes is he going to be locked into? I mean, they have Isaiah Thomas, big minutes. Avery Bradley, big minutes. Jay Crowder, when he's healthy, big minutes. So, I mean, I can't see Marcus Smart, even though he is like definitively a solid piece in that rotation. He's probably going to be a 24, 26 minute guy.
Well, he got 27 minutes the last 2 years. So, I mean, I think that's kind of a safe floor.
Right.
He's up the field goal percentage this year, which you hope that continues because he's been bad for the first 2 years. He's shooting a decent percentage from the 3-point line this year, which you like to see that. Which if he shoots the same number of attempts he shot in 27 minutes last year, which is 4, he's giving you like 1.2 3-pointers a game. He's getting you probably right around 4 rebounds, right around like 3 assists, a steal and a half. He got steal and a half in both of his first 2 seasons. And if he can get up to 10 points, I mean, it's a guy worth thinking about owning and holding even in 27 minutes.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to see when is Jay Crowder coming back. If they have any idea. So Jay Crowder is targeting a return on November 16th, which is this Wednesday. All right. So, I mean, I like Marcus Smart. I mean, I'm not as high on him as I guess you seem to be. But he is another one of those. He's a guy, unlike, you know, the Nick Young, Lou Williams of the world. He does more than just one or two categories.
Right. He's going to get you a little bit everywhere, which is something you kind of like.
He's more of the Trevor Booker type, which is a good type to own. It's just, so on any given night, stats aren't going to overwhelm you, but over the course of a week, you can put up some pretty decent stats. So I'm fine if you want to pick him up.
Yeah, totally agree. Next guy up, a guy I think who should be more owned, maybe not owned in every league, but Maurice Harkless, 17.6% owned on ESPN. In 10 games this year, he's getting you 30.5 minutes a game. He's getting you 1.4 threes. He's getting you 4.5 rebounds. He's getting you 1.1 assists, 0.6 steals, 0.8 blocks, 11.2 points. He's shooting 50% from the field and 85% from the free throw line. I think the free throw percentage definitely regresses. But if you look at his kind of like per minute stats in 30 minutes, he's pretty close to a potential triple one player, which means one steal, one block, one three-pointer a game, which you would love that. And if he keeps getting this 30 minutes, I think he's kind of a potential value guy out there who hasn't really exploded yet. What do you think about Maurice Harkless?
I mean, I'm not a Harkless fan, so I might be biased here. I hate Terry Stotts in his rotations. They drive me insane. You know, right now he's been getting, like tonight he got 32 minutes, but Aminu's out right now.
2 more weeks, man, at least. And they said they're not evaluating him until 2 weeks.
Right, so I think
he's probably out for more like 3 or 4.
I think as long as Aminu's out, then I'm fine with everything you said in Harkless. But the problem is once Aminu does come back, like any of these, Myers-Leonard, Harkless, Crabbe, and Noah Vonleh, and Ed Davis. I mean, all these guys, their minutes are like a yo-yo with Terry Stotts. So they all scare me. But I would say as long as Aminu's out, Harkless would be the guy to own out of all those guys.
And here's the thing. I think you pick him up and you hold him for those 2 weeks.
Right.
And then if you're like you're saying, he does decide to mess with the rotation when Aminu comes back, you find someone else. I mean, you got him off the waiver wire. He was free. $0. Last guy we'll talk about, this is one of your guys. I know you've been playing him a lot in DFS. Wilson Chandler, 16.6% owned. In 7 games this year, he's played 29.4 minutes. He's gotten you almost a 3 a game, 6.7 rebounds, 1 assist, 0.4 steals, 0.1 blocks, and a nice 14.3 points. What do you think about Wilson Chandler going forward?
I'm a big Wilson Chandler fan. He's another one of those guys, just a veteran professional basketball player. Mike Malone has finally seen the light, and he realizes, you know, he can't play 2 7-footers when most teams play 0 7-footers. So he's going to – I mean, Mike Malone is doing a lot of right now of playing Gallo at the 4 or Kenneth Free at the 4, And you could even throw Wilson Chandler at the four, but either way, it opens up minutes at the three spot. And I don't care if Wilson Chandler's starting or not. He's going to get 26, 28, up to 30 minutes a night. Like tonight, he got 27 minutes, and that's even with a bad hamstring. 27 minutes, 18 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 7 to 12 from the floor. I mean, I think the shots are always going to be there for Wilson Chandler. And the points are going to be there. He shoots a pretty decent percentage. So he's a guy that, yeah, this 16% ownership, I think that's crazy low. I think he will end the year in the top 100, Tyler.
Well, and here was my big point about this. Look at his numbers from 2014, 2015. He didn't play at all last year. He had a hip surgery, I think, like right in training camp and missed the whole year. Look at those numbers. Do you think that they're anything outrageous? Like, that's an easily a stat line I could see him producing this season.
Yeah, and the best part is, like, Gallo's body will be broken, like, any minute now. So, like, when Gallo goes down, that's even more minutes for Tyson for Wilson Chandler. Now, Wilson Chandler's no spring chicken either, so I don't know how many minutes his body can handle. But I think he's a pretty safe – I think, you know, while we talked about a lot of the guys in the show that scare me to death, he's the one guy where I've just – I could own and feel pretty – I feel pretty good about it. I feel, you know, it's safe. It's like when we talk about DFS, we talk about guys who have a safe floor. I mean, I think that's Wilson Chandler. I mean, I don't think you have to worry too much. You kind of know what you're going to get with him.
Well, yeah, and those 2014-2015 numbers, they ranked him 95th in 8 category leagues and 85th in 9 category leagues by Basketball Monster. So, I mean, this is a guy out there for free in a ton of leagues who's easily a top 100 player, so I think you got to pick him up.
Yeah. I'm with you.
All right, that's all we have for today. That's the end of our season-long talk for the week. Anything you want to plug, Daniel?
No, not really. I mean, you know, we're running the daily, the chambers tournaments. I mean, I hope so if you guys want to get in that, just holler at me. You can tweet at me. That would be cool. It's a lot of fun. I unveiled the first power rankings. We have a power rankings that we unleash every Friday. And then every Friday we do what's called a best of the best tournament. It's the winners only of the chambers and people who are at the top of the power ranking. So just a lot of fun. It's just, you know, a way for all of us in the, you know, people who listen to the show, people who have been following me on Twitter for a while, just, you know, can all just get together and just have some good times. And it's only do like $2 tournaments. So it's nothing crazy. Just a way for all of us to, you know, to get distracted by the dark, scary real world.
Yeah. You want to tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter so they can message you about the chambers?
Yes. You can find me at Daniel A. Green 1, green like the color. And yeah, man, that's it. That's all I got.
All right. And I'm Tyler Watts. You can find me on Twitter at Wattsy4444. That's all we got for you. We should be back tomorrow with another DFS show.
Yep. Later, guys.